Morning. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be in verse 12 this morning. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and we're halfway, at the halfway point right now. And we'll be starting the second half next week, or well, not next week, because we have our missionary here. But following that, and what we're seeing going through the Ten Commandments is that they are much deeper than they actually appear on the surface. There's so much more to them. And I made a joke because we started on Mother's Day going through the Ten Commandments, and I said maybe we should have started with the Fifth Commandment. I'm like, oh no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go right and start from the beginning. Well, now we're here at Father's Day, and guess what? We're at the Fifth Commandment. And so as you see there, Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Would you pray as we get into this morning? Or would you bow your heads as I pray this morning? Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence here in this place. God, it is so good, and we love to worship you because you love us, and you have shown your love for us by sending Jesus, and that Jesus lived the life that we were meant to live, and that he was obedient to you in all things, Lord God. And then he went to the cross and died in our place for our sins, Lord God. But not only that, 3 days later, he rose again to life and victory over death, sin, and hell. And so we worship you. We thank you that through faith we can be a part of your family, Lord God. And I pray that you just speak to us this morning through your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So like I said, today we're looking at the fifth commandment here. And as we read, it says, honor your father and your mother. And it's interesting to me that in the Ten Commandments, there's nothing about respecting your elders here in the Ten Commandments in general. There's nothing about honoring political or civic leaders. Although we see some of these things elsewhere in the Bible, they're not here in the Ten Commandments. There's nothing about honoring the king, the president, your boss, whatever. We don't see that here in the Ten Commandments. But it does tell us here that we are to honor our parents, our father and our mother. Now, why does God tell us to honor our parents here in the Ten Commandments? Like, what's the point of all of this? But not have any of these other forms of legitimate leadership authority mentioned at all in the Ten Commandments? Why is it just our parents? Well, it's because if children honor and respect their parents, they then show honor and respect to their teachers, to police officers, to elected officials, to their bosses, and so on and so on and so on, whatever it goes for from there. And so one of the things that helps us connect the Old Testament and the New Testament together is that we have to understand that the New Testament is actually in the Old Testament, it's just contained. And the Old Testament is in the New Testament explained. And so we need both the Old and New Testament. So if you just read from one or the other, you're missing out on a lot of what God wants to show us and reveal to us about himself. And so we need the whole of the Bible. And that means that when we look at the Old Testament, what we see in the Old Testament is God is at work. He's doing things. But when we get into the New Testament, we see God even clearer than we do in the Old Testament. We see him more clearly. And that's God showing more and more and more and more of himself. He's showing us who he is more and more as the time goes on. And what theologians call this is progressive revelation. That God is showing more and more and more and more of himself and of who he is. He shows us more of his character, how he works. He shows us his ways, what he wants, and what his will is for us. In fact, we actually see that in our passage today. Our passage here in Exodus chapter 20, or in the fifth commandment, is really explained and magnified in the book of Ephesians. And so you go to Ephesians And we'll have this here up on the screen for you, Ephesians chapter 6. And it tells us in chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." So in our series here, as we've been going through the Ten Commandments, we're on the fifth one this morning. What we've seen so far in these Ten Commandments is these aren't an invitation for us to have a bunch of rules in our lives. That's not what the Ten Commandments are. But the Ten Commandments are an invitation for us to have a relationship with God. It's actually freedom for us because God tells us what's expected of us. Having trouble getting the words out this morning. So it's freedom for us because God is showing us what He wants from us, what He expects from us. We don't have to guess what God wants. That's a good thing, right? We don't have to guess at all. We know what God wants because He has revealed it to us. And so the first four commandments that we've seen already, they deal with our relationship with God and how we connect with Him. And starting with this one, going through the rest, these last six commandments, they deal with our relationship with each other, with the people around us, our neighbor. And this really makes sense because Jesus tells us what it means to have true spirituality. And He says it's this. He says, "You are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then you are to love your neighbor as yourself." And so the Ten Commandments, what they do is they show us the very heart of Jesus and what He wants for us with regard to walking with Him. If you want to know how to have a relationship with Him, we see them in these commandments. And so this commandment here, the fifth, honor your father and mother, is the first commandment with a direct promise. Now, we need to understand that when we keep all of God's commandments, He promises to bless us and reward us. But this commandment right here specifically has a promise that is attached to it. And anytime in the Bible there's a promise from God to us, Satan opposes it. He tries to stop that because he doesn't want us to be blessed by God. He wants us to be cursed, right? And so it's no big surprise then that parents struggle with their relationship to their children and children struggle with their relationship with their parents. It's not a surprise because Satan is attacking those relationships. In fact, you could make an argument that this is primary assault, parents and children. And we hear this promise in this commandment, right? That if we honor our parents, we will live long in the land. And we say, all right, good. I'm going to obey my parents so that I can live past 100. I'm going to do this just so I can outlive, you know, and live real long. That's how we see it as Americans. Actually, this promise is about legacy. If you teach your kids to honor dad and mom, and then they teach their kids to honor dad and mom, and then they teach their kids to honor dad and mom, it goes on and on, right? In the land, you will have a legacy. It's going to go well for your family. That's what we see here. And we know in the beginning that God was all about family. He says to Adam and Eve, I want you to rule over all of my creation in my name. And this means that through the family, God is going to work in and through the world. He's going to do things through the family. Through the family, it would teach the world to be under God's authority, what it means to be under His authority. The family is where training happens, discipline happens. Theology was to happen there. It's through the family that we learn to love and to receive love. We learn how to fight fairly. We learn how to sacrifice for each other. And we learn how to serve people. That all should be starting in the family. And so a family is covenant community where worship and learning happen in the context of unconditional love. That's what the family is. Now, what does that mean? Well, dad and mom are in a covenant community, not just to each other, but also to God. And family happens when you get married. And then if you have kids, they come into the family as well, right? But you're already a family even before kids. And what we need to understand is the kids are not the center of the marriage. God is at the top, and the parents are the center of the covenant relationship. And one of the ways that families can get messed up is that they make their kids the center of everything. Dad and mom are the center, pointing to God, who is the true center. And then there's worship. Worship is to happen. And the obedience that's being talked about here is God. It's to God and not just mom and dad. Dad and mom are to teach their children about who God is and how to relate to the world. That's part of what it means to be a parent. You teach them who God is and how they relate to the world around them. And the environment of all of this, though, is unconditional love. Knowing that your children can fail and will fail, knowing that the parents can fail and will fail, and what makes a family is a covenant of loyalty. It's a covenant and a commitment to the very end, right? Not to the end of warm, fuzzy feelings, but to death, right? That's what the covenant was made. And so in that setting, kids perceive that dad and mom are for each other, and this gives them safety to grow. Safety to question things and ask about things. Safety to even doubt some of the things that are there. Safety to learn. That's what we see. And at the center of the family is marriage. Marriage is one man and one woman in a covenant relationship for a lifetime. Marriage is the foundation with everything that we talk about when we talk about family. It's the legal accountability for the well-being of another person. It's permanent. It's exclusive. It's endless commitment until death parts the couple. That's what this is. And so this argument that we have today in our culture is, and we're seeing this more and more and more, is like, who needs that piece of paper? We can just live together. We can replicate kind of what it means to be and what it looks like as a marriage. We can even have children. We can get benefits from government and the state. Why do we need to get married? Well, let me tell you, here's what marriage does. Marriage binds you together formally, and it makes you vulnerable. Marriage makes you a family legally, and you aren't a family until you can rest knowing that that the person that you're married to is committed to you physically, spiritually, emotionally, and legally. Now, parenting is different than marriage. In marriage, you never want to get to the place where you don't need each other, okay? That's the way it needs to stay. The goal of marriage is interdependence. The goal of parenting is independence. Sometimes that scares us as parents, right? We're like, I don't know if I want my kids to leave. But you want to train your child so that your child can function without you. In a marriage, though, you never want to get to that place where you don't need each other, where you aren't dependent upon each other. It's where you're drawing a significant portion of your affirmation. And remember that most of that needs to come from God. Who you are is who you are in God. But you need to get a good portion of that from your spouse. And so with a child, though, you're trying to get them to live without you at some point. And as parents, your job is to create a culture where your child is able to grow, to learn, and live apart from your care. And there are two different types of what it means to be parenting when it comes to parenting. And one of those is the old ways where people, where they parented their child was they kind of thought of their kids as servants. And we really don't see this type of parenting that often anymore today, but the values of that style of parenting is ownership, control, and power. In homes like this, the dad is the dictator and he's in control of everything, even, you know, especially of his kids, even to the point of maybe even sometimes verbal abuse or even physical abuse. And the dad is able to do whatever he wants. It's where he sits in his chair and everybody comes and serves him because he works really hard at his job. And he can do whatever he wants because he's the breadwinner. He does all the work. And what happens is, in this style, is that when dad comes home, the kids kind of go out the back door. And the kids kind of want to avoid dad as much as possible. The kids want, in this kind of family, aren't free to make decisions on their own and values a part of their parents. And if you do, that's considered rebellion. Now, the newer model, we kind of see him even more today, is the opposite of that. And its values are freedom, expression, and exploration. And parents aren't authoritative at all. They don't try to develop boundaries or a moral clarity in their children. They don't worry about shaping values in their kids. They're just there for emotional support. You're there to support your child's decisions and their values, and they're like, you just kind of let them go from an early age. And this newer version of parenting is more of, I'm treating my child or my kids as if they were my friend. And we have this overreaction between these two views that we see of parenting, and we go back and forth between them. But what we see in the Bible actually challenges both of those styles of parenting. The Bible tells us that we cannot be detached as a parent. We cannot be cold. We cannot be a dictator. You cannot be unaccountable. But it also challenges the emotional support that I don't really have to tell my kids what to do and I don't really give them any boundaries in their lives. The Bible speaks to both of these. And that's why I started off with that Ephesians 6 passage. And we're going to look at this a little bit more in detail here this morning. If you go to verse 4, it tells us, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. This verse is speaking to fathers here. And the reason that the Bible is focused especially on fathers here, especially in this chapter and in this book of Ephesians, is that fathers set the emotional climate in the home. Whether good or bad, they set it. And so this isn't just something that's theological, but this is also sociological. The father, by his absence or by his presence, sets the emotional tone of the family. So the Bible is actually really, really smart. It understands this. God understands this stuff, right? Paul really was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he wrote this down. That's why it says fathers here in Ephesians. Don't provoke, but bring up. Progressively, over time, that they are under your care, you teach them. You teach your children. Produce something in them. Produce something through them. The purpose of parents isn't to produce kids who are slaves. You don't make your kids an extension of yourself who play the same things that you did and do all the same hobbies that you do, you know, and think like you do, where you're having them relive, you're reliving your youth through that. Don't do that. The purpose of parenting is to get your children to function on their own, to be their own person, to love God and to love people as God has created them. He has created them specially for a purpose, and that's what we want to get them to thrive in, and who they are and what God has created them to be. And so you want them to be able to live without you at some point. And this passage shows us why this doesn't go well. Why this is so hard. Why so many people are struggling right now as parents with their children. Why some of us are even struggling with our parents in adult age. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 helps us. And you see it up on the screen. It says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother." And so when you see non-adult children, right, kids in the home, as long as your parents aren't telling you something to do that goes against God, against the Bible, or any of those kind of things like that, then you obey them. Why? Because it tells us here it's the right thing to do. What you see here is a difference. Children under the care of their parents, their responsibility is to obey. Adult children not under the care of their parents, their responsibility is to honor their parents. Amen. And there's a difference between obeying and honoring your parents. Big difference, really. So when you obey your parents, you are actually honoring your parents in that. When you obey, if you're in the home. But when you're an adult and outside of your parents' care, you no longer are responsible to obey them in everything that they tell you to do, but you want to honor them. That's what you're responsible for. And if you depend upon your parents and you obey them in everything and submit to every word as an adult child out of the home, that's not being your own person. So obedience isn't the constant. Dependence isn't the rule, but it's honor. When we get out of the home, we want to honor our parents. And this is why it says in the Ten Commandments to honor. And the reason that you honor and not obey is that some parents aren't good parents. Sad to say, but it happens, right? Some parents can be abusive, some can be unwise, and to obey them might be destructive for you. Some parents are controlling. Even if they don't even mean to be, they can be that way. And the Bible tells us that when you leave the home or when you get married, especially when you get married, there's this leave and cleave that happens, right? When you get married, you leave the household and you cleave to your spouse. You become one flesh. And the leaving means I'm honoring mom and dad, but I don't have to obey them anymore. That's not how it goes, but I have my own family and I'm not under them now. I'm connecting with my spouse. And if you had a terrible relationship with your parents, that doesn't change the fact that you're still to honor them. Amen. Now, how do we do this? How do we honor our parents? Why should we honor our parents? Well, some will say you honor them because they're wiser. Well, not always, right? Not necessarily. Amen. Some will say, well, you honor them because you're grateful for what they did. Well, maybe that's not the case for everybody. And you can't be grateful for something like that. That's not the case. Well, some say, well, I'm gonna honor them because I came from my parents. Well, that's not the reason that we see in the Bible that we're to honor our parents. And the reason that the Bible gives us for us to honor our parents is because our parents represented authority in our lives. In fact, our parents were the first line of authority in our lives. It's the first authority you ever had to deal with, right? And so God gave authority to your parents, dad and mom, and when sin entered into the world, it just messed up our view of authority, and it messed up our view of God. And so there's governmental authority that we are to obey in our lives. There's even some pastoral, there's pastoral authority that we are to obey in our lives. There's bosses that we're to obey and things like that. But our parents were the first line of authority in our lives. And so in a sense, our parents were the first to represent God to us. That's what we see. And so we honor because we're honoring God through them. He has given authority to our parents, and so we honor God by honoring our parents. Our parents were the first people to show us our rebellion in our lives, our foolishness in our lives. And God is using our parents to show us that we're messed up. We're not great and perfect people, right? That we've got flaws, we've got sin that needs to be dealt with in our lives, that we need to take to Jesus and we need to find the right behaviors. And our parents are our opportunity, our first opportunity to trust someone other than ourselves. Our parents are our first opportunity to not be right or in charge of everything. Our parents are the first to show us the consequences of our sin, even. That there's problem, we got to deal with these things. And so if you've ever been on a sports team of any kind where you had a coach, or you ever did something, musically with a conductor or sang with a conductor, you understand that some coaches or some conductors were bad, they weren't really good at it, or they were really mean, but you still needed them. Like, they helped you grow in those things and be better at those things. I remember one of my coaches in basketball. First game, all the practices were smooth and everything, and then we were getting beat by 15 at half. And that first halftime, all we got was screamed at for about 5 minutes. And then he said, "It's an easy game, fellas, isn't it? Go out there." Wasn't the greatest thing, but we needed the coach. Didn't really, in other ways it helped, in other ways it didn't, right? And so we need those. Even if they're bad, we need those. And if you don't have a coach or a conductor, good music isn't going to happen. Sports, you're not going to be able to play. You're not going to be. So even if the authority is a little messed up, personally, or even in the talent level, we still need those people in our lives. And if you've ever had a good coach or a good conductor in your life, those people changed your life. You still talk about them today. You still think about them today, right? Because they cared about you, they loved you, and they helped you grow in that sport and grow as a person. Like, those people changed your life. And this is the way that parents are supposed to work. You may not have liked your parents. They may not have done a perfect job. No parent has ever done a perfect job. But you needed them. You needed them. It's by God's design, because God has worked in such a way that he has put people in authority over us to teach us things. That's what authority does. They are people over us who teach us things. And so authority is God's way of using fallible or messed up people to protect, discipline, and to teach us. That's what God does. He set these things up in a way to show us some things. And God does that through our government leaders, through pastoral leaders, through bosses, whatever. There's all sorts of things. Parents, of course. We're talking about parents today. But our first line in all of that were our parents. And when we submit to the authority, we come under the order of God. That's what happens. When we submit to our authority, we come under the order of God. And when we rebel against authority, we miss out on God's desire and God's glory. And when we miss out on God's glory and God's desire, we miss out on his joy. And he's where the joy is, right? You've probably heard that a bunch lately. And that's the reason that we are honoring our parents, because we're honoring God. So then the question is, how do I honor my parents? Well, first off, take them seriously. Proverbs 20, verse 29 tells us that the glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. I'm starting to get that gold or gray, so hopefully that splendor's coming. I don't know. But glory your father and your mother. What does this mean here, to glory? Well, the word glory means weight or weightiness or importance. God is saying, I want you to treat your parents as they're weighty, as they're important people, as people who are put in your life by God. You can choose a lot of things in your life, right? You can choose maybe your career. You can choose the things that you like, your hobbies, and all those kind of things. But there is one thing for sure that you've never had a chance to choose, and that was your parents. God put you where he put you. And so take your parents seriously. Treat them with significance. So if you respect them, how do you have a relationship with them? And some people respect their parents, but there's just no relationship with them. So what you need to do is find some common ground with your parents. Find some ways that you have in common with them so that you can talk with them. Find some ways that just, you know, that they like, that you can get into maybe, and just talk to them about. And some of you resent what your parents like because you feel like they love that thing more than they loved you. Still, find some common ground that you can come together and build a relationship with your parents if there's not one there, or to strengthen a relationship that's not there. And then we have to ask them for advice. Get your parents' understanding and perspective about things. You're out of the home now, maybe, if you are out of the home, and so you don't have to obey everything that they say, but get their understanding because they've got some good advice. Your parents really are wise in some areas, and it's because they've made some right decisions, but it's not always because they've made right decisions, because they've learned from their mistakes. How many of us have learned from our mistakes, right? It's made us wiser. And they may be able to tell you more of what not to do than what to do, but ask them sincerely and expect God to speak through your parents. Then share, whoops, we're going, that's the next two. But first one, share your joys with them. Some people share things with their friends and their spouses, but they don't share anything with their parents. Call them, email them, text them, I don't know, whatever it is. Share your joys with them. Bring them along as you celebrate things in your life. Figure out a way to bring them into your life, into the joys of your life, because you know what? Your joys are your parents' joys. And they want to be a part of those things. And then you see the next one. Listen to their struggles. Find out what brings your parents pain and listen to them. Grieve with them, right? The Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Do that with your parents. And then we're going to get to the tough one. It's to forgive them and ask for forgiveness with them. This is the hard part. And it's true of every relationship, not just relationships with your parents. It's with everybody, but I think it's harder with our parents. And some of you need to realize that, you know, which is one of the, what you need to do is you need to release. And that's one of the words for forgiveness in the Bible, release. And I'm not saying you don't take seriously maybe some of the things that happened. Your parents may have sinned against you at some point in your life, and some have, you know, have been really hurt by their parents. Some parents have been really hurt by their kids, right? And so we need to go to them and say, like, this happened, and I felt hurt by this. Help me to understand it. And many times we're going to see that it's really not that big of a deal. It was actually just a misunderstanding. And some of the grudges and the bitterness isn't even real. It's just a perception. And others of you have sinned against your parents, and you might need to go to them and say, hey, I messed up. And ask for forgiveness. But either way, we have to release it. Whether our parents are willing to accept that forgiveness or to say they were sorry for something that happened way back, we have to release that to God and forgive. And if there's been really hurts that have happened there, there may need to be some boundaries that are set. Because forgiveness doesn't equal trust. But the Bible calls us to, as his people, to forgive. And this is hard work. We don't just do it with our parents. We don't just do it with our spouses and our kids. We do this with everybody. We're called to forgive. And this is really, really hard work. Some of us need to go to our parents and confess our sins against them. Please forgive me for that. And you know, and ask them for forgiveness. Ask them to, you know, tell them you've forgiven them for things. But this is all relationships. Forgive and be forgiven. This is the way that Christianity works. And this is why it's so hard, because we don't do this very well. We don't deal with these things. We don't go and find forgiveness. And we have bitterness in our lives because of it, and we've been offended by somebody else, and there's this bitterness that's taking root, and we never get together, and we never talk about it, and we talk about each other to other people, but we don't go to the person who has hurt us and talk to them about it. We need to go to them, not to other people. And so when we talk about family, here's what God has done. God has rejected his own son so that he could receive us. That Jesus came to earth, right? We prayed that in our prayer this morning. And he lived the life that we were meant to live, right? Holy and pleasing before God, obedient to the Father. And then he went to the cross and bore all of our sins. So that he, God the Father, could receive us through faith in Jesus and what he's done for us. And God the Father said, I am going to take my son and I'm going to put him on the outside so that he can bear the sins of everybody, and so that my other sons and daughters, I can receive them. God had a split in his family for a moment so that he could make a bigger family. Family is at the heart of God. Honor is at the heart of God. Forgiveness is at the heart of God. And he wants that for you, for me. Would you bow your heads this morning? I know that this isn't the easiest of things to talk about as we look at the commandments and we look at life and the things that we've gone through. And for some, it's super easy because we had great parents. For others, it's really hard because we didn't. And so through all of this, God, I'm really praying, is working on your heart for what you need to do in this moment. Because we don't want to just leave it right here and walk away. We want this, the Word of God, to have an effect in our life, to change our life. And so whatever journey you may be in the home still, you obey your parents. You may be out of the home and single. Will you still honor your parents? You don't have to obey them in everything, but you honor them. Find ways to honor them. Maybe you're married. You've got kids of your own. Raise them up as God would have you. Pray and ask God to lead you in that. Ask for wisdom from people who you know, who've gone through it. Your parents are one of those. But I feel like at this moment, we're all in a place where we need to just ask the Holy Spirit right now in this moment, God, what do you want me to have to do? And with respect to my parents and my kids, wherever we are, if you have kids, ask them about that. If you don't, just say, God, how do I honor my parents? Would you just take a moment to pray that? And if you need to forgive and it's really, really hard, would you just pray and ask God to give you the strength to forgive those who have hurt you, whether it's your parents or somebody else? God really wants to heal today. He wants to heal these relationships, because that's what God's about. He's a God who heals. And it's not just our bodies, but it's our relationships. And so you just ask God to give you the strength to forgive and to find healing in those relationships. Would you just take a moment and pray, and we'll close here in just a moment.